This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
In the studio A we go, Tito, David Jenkins. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is it going on this fine day?
It's warm in here.
I think.
Might want to turn T's mic on, David. Might help there.
Second one.
Number two. We'll have high school baseball coming up today.
There you go.
Carthenville at Lincolnwood live at 11 here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com.
Just hoping not to get sunburned today. That's all.
Hey, that's a good problem to have. Good problem to have. Had a couple of ball games on the radio last night. You fellas were there for each of them, and it's good to have baseball and softball back on the radio.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals won one last night.
Hey.
Not going 0-162.
There you go.
So that's good.
That's a positive.
It was a little worrisome there for a while.
So now we can go 159-3.
3-1. Oh, yeah, I got
you.
Yeah,
159-3.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's looking positive.
On the way.
Well, Dave, you were at Litchfield last night, and Hillsborough had a 10-run explosion in the sixth inning?
10-run in the sixth inning. It was a very, very good ball game until the top of the sixth inning. And, you know, it, very much like your typical baseball game, Hillsborough had a 2-0 lead heading into the fourth. I think they added two more in the fourth and made it 4-0, but still well within reach. And then the sixth inning happened, and Cooper Scharf had thrown a lot of pitches, and he started struggling with his – well, didn't start struggling with his command. His command issues caught up to him in the sixth inning. They had to take him out. David Seaball came in, and he just didn't have any command. A lot of it probably had to do with the fact that he was the DH for the game, so it wasn't like he was out there able to stay warm or anything. I mean, coming off the bench cold. And then right into the ball game and just really struggled with his command. Hillsborough, credit to them, they put up 10 runs and put the game out of reach. And Brock Boston for the Toppers pitched a phenomenal game. Didn't wow you as far as strikeouts and walks, but efficient as all possible. I mean, he only reached three ball counts and all of the same hitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
In high school baseball, that's very impressive.
That's all right, yeah. That's a good thing. Jordan Tekin had four RBIs in the ballgame, I guess. So.
He's hitting 489 on the season so far.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Not bad.
A decent
good.
Average.
Number two hitter for them. So, yeah, they both teams, Litchfield and Hillsborough, stacked with young talent. Hillsborough, very good cleanup hitter in their catcher, Christian Hernandez. He's going to be fun to watch as he's got some very nice power. And Litchfield, their third and fourth hitters are both freshmen. So.
Sounds kind of like the Carlinville team I saw last night at Greenville. Their lineup loaded with freshmen and sophomores. Just, you know, a very, very young team. And in the game I had last night at Greenville, the Comets beat the Cavaliers 12-7. But Carlinville, you know, late in the ball game before Greenville tacked on a couple extra runs, had, you know, opportunities to tie the game up and just couldn't come through with a base hit. And Ryan Hutchison had five RBIs on the night for the Comets. He also came in relief to pitch and picked off a couple of base runners at first base, which turned out to be big plays. So Hutch had a good night last night. So the Comets win at 12-7. So.
Become the ace of their staff with his brother Tyler graduating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, fellas, I feel like I'm not a surprise in baseball and softball when you see freshmen and sophomores be big-time contributors. Basketball and football, it's more of a surprise to me. But in baseball, it doesn't, you know, with the select teams, the traveling in the summer, some of these freshmen are coming into high school ball. They are well-schooled.
Yeah.
They are.
And earlier this week, Nokomis beat Greenville 10-1, and then Nokomis – got hammered in a couple of games yesterday by Harrisburg and Beardstown as part of that Pleasant Plains tournament, but they've upgraded their schedule. So, you know, much like we talk about Coach Kimbrough's basketball schedule being upgraded, the baseball schedule at Nokomis is upgraded as well, and I think they're now 10-3 on the season. So they're off to a great start. And the Gillespie girls softball team now, I think, 16-1. Addison Bryant's just
– Oh, phenomenal.
Just absolutely – out of this world.
Well, you know you've had a great start to your guys when you have a legitimate question. What's your best win? Was it Edwardsville, or was it the defending champion 1A out of 1A, Calhoun? What, you know? I mean, think about what Calhoun has. They've got one of the Ballmans already committed to Kentucky to be a pitcher. So, I mean, you're talking about dominance. You got the best 1A program, one of the best 4A programs, and you beat them both. Sensational.
They're 14-1 right now. The thing about Gillespie, I think... If you ask them that question, they would say a deep run in the postseason.
Yeah,
sure. No, exactly.
Yeah, you know, because they made a good run into the postseason last year and ran into Williamsville. But Addison Bryant has just been terrific.
That game between Calhoun and Gillespie, I believe it was Ballman and Bryant facing off on the mound, I think they each struck out 20 hitters.
It was, 10 innings. 10 innings. Believe.
But you know what? Even with the great pitching, you got to have good defense. You got to be able to score some runs. And Gillespie, you know, they beat Roxanna last night 6-2.
Yeah.
So that helps, but we've seen it over the years in softball. If you've got a dominant pitcher, in a lot of ways, that's all you need, especially if that dominant pitcher can also hit, and Addison Bryant can. Yeah. I mean, I know you've talked about games before back in the day with Lindsay Bonnell when she was at Bunker Hill. Mm-hmm. She'd throw a no-hitter. She'd lead the game off with a bunt, steal second, steal third, score on a ground out, and they win 1-0.
Yeah. That, literally, I've seen that before, and I can remember playing at Carrollton. They tried to walk her like in the 10th inning one time, and she just reached out across the plate and poked it into right field, stole second, stole third, and came home on a ground ball and beat Carrollton, which was very good at that time in the regular season. So, and at that time, you got to remember the pitching mound was 40 feet. It's 43 now. So a little bit more offense as compared to years past. But still, when you have a dominant pitcher,
that's where you want to start.
Right.
You
know, don't put me in that batter's box.
No thanks.
You knew.
No way, Jose.
You knew watching Addison Bryant as a freshman that she was going to be something special. And she's turned into, I think she's, just a junior this year? I think so.
I don't
think she's a senior yet. So she's, plenty of time in her career left. So, I mean, she's just fantastic. One of the best players in the area.
Absolutely. But with that said, for Gillespie, this is the year.
Yeah.
The time is now. You live in the moment. And to have the start they've had, you've got nothing but deep run on your mind.
Yeah. And we'll see the minors later on in the year on the radio. And, of course, postseason, Gillespie's hosting both a baseball and softball regional this year. And
the bugaboo for our area softball teams has always been running into Williamsville in the sectional. Well, Jane Grebner's not the coach there anymore. She retired after last year, so I mean they're going through a transition period. So we'll see if they do still run into them and what their program is going to be like.
But the thing of it is, I don't think that they're afraid. I don't think that makes any difference. I don't care who you run into. You know, when you've got a program that's humming along like the Miners have right now. You know, you beat Edwardsville, you beat Calhoun.
Right.
Of course, those things don't mean anything
once you
get to the postseason. They don't mean a darn thing. You know, it's about putting together your best effort and being hot at the right time of the season. So,
but
before we know it, the postseason will be here. It's incredible how quick the spring season flies.
Right. But if ever you could say a team can beat anybody, Gillespie would be that team this year for obvious reasons.
Yeah. It's, you know, And even in the sectional last year against Williamsville, they were competitive.
They were right there.
They were right there. I mean, they were right there.
And that's what can make Gillespie extra dangerous this year is they've kind of had those experiences, came up short the last couple of years. And they've always had a strong softball program. This isn't like they've come out of nowhere, sort of Cinderella story.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Gillespie's got a great softball reputation.
Yes, they have. They have. And it's had for a long, long time. So.
Yeah. They've just run into better teams though, over the last few years.
That happens.
This year, they're the better team.
I think they're one of the better teams this year.
Safe to say.
Yeah.
Ask Edwardsville and Calhoun.
Yeah. You know, two good early season wins for the Miners, the softball team.
One of the smallest schools around, one of the biggest schools around. They beat them both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go from 1A to 4A or 4A to 1A, I guess. I played Edwardsville first. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's good to have baseball and softball underway and
now we just need some baseball and softball weather.
Well, that would help
but cold
it is. Very cold, and it's going to be cold this morning for the Carlinville Lincolnwood game from Steeren Field and Raymond, but
it's not windy, so that's good.
Yeah, the wind's died down and the sun's out. That's the good thing about it, and that'll get underway about 10:50 with the pregame show this morning on WSMI FM 106.
And then we've got first softball game on the radio on Monday, and that'll be the true test with the weather, with being up in the Litchfield press box, exposed to the wind. So.
And it's Litchfield-Lincolnwood.
Yeah.
So we'll see Abby Brockmeyer pitch against her
A lot of her friends
yeah,
and
a lot
teammates.
Of her friends, absolutely. Yeah, well, absolutely.
So, that'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah,
of course,
that'll be an interesting
Litchfield in transition with the softball program, losing the class that they did last year. We obviously know what effect it had on the basketball court, but a lot of good softball players lost from last year's team.
Yeah. You know, there were a lot of good, pretty good softball teams around the area, and still are. So
Southwestern, one of the strong ones too.
So it's we're off to the races, and coming up a week from today, the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament will be played, weather permitting, at Team and Plummer Field at Litchfield. They've moved it up a week as far as the calendar week is concerned. They used to play at the fourth Saturday of the month. It's going to be the third Saturday of the month now because it takes care of prom problems. Yeah.
That'll make Tacomas like that. Happy.
So, yep. And all four teams from the county will be involved. So
that'll make us happy.
You'll have semifinals at 10 and about noon, a third place game, which will only be a five-inning game, and then the championship later on in the afternoon. So
that's a week from today. Then 2 weeks from today is the alumni baseball game.
Yeah. Yes, it is. We'll talk about that more after the break, as we need to get to a break. More Sports Saturday continues right after this. Sports Saturday continues on this April 9th Saturday morning. And before the break, we were talking about the Montgomery County Alumni Baseball Tournament for the Montgomery County Cancer Association. And we're pleased to be able to talk about that more with our special guest, Mike Cerruti. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Oh, getting by.
So every year we get to talk about this Alumni County Baseball Tournament, and it's a great event. How many years does this make this?
This will be our fifth year, I believe.
And what a success it has become, and it's great to have all the cities from the county represented in it.
Yeah, this year I think Nokomis is going to get a team back in it, so with that being said, we'll have all four towns represented.
And I know, Mike, that the reception that you guys have gotten from people throughout the different communities has been sensational.
Yeah, it's been nice. Everybody comes together for this cause. I mean, it's not easy to see, for a 30-year-old or 40 or whatever it is to go out and play the game again. But they seem to enjoy it, and they come together for the Montgomery County Cancer Association.
Mike, it's not easy for a 15-year-old to play baseball, trust me.
No, it's not. When you're classified as a great ball player, you fail 7 out of 10 times.
Right,
so,
right.
It's tough, but it just keeps growing. So,
give us the details of the where, when, and all that stuff.
It's going to be April 24th at the Hillsborough Sports Complex. We're leaning on starting at 11:00, and this year we're going to, instead of playing 7-inning games, we're going to play 5-inning games. Last year, the 7-inning games, I think, kind of wore on the pitching, so we're going to go back to 5-inning games to hopefully make it a lot easier to get through the game.
Well, I think the de facto championship game also ended up going 8 innings last year.
I think so, and that was Litchfield versus Raymond, correct?
Yeah, that's right, Litchfield and Lincolnwood. Pretty good game, but, yeah, it was exhausting.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that I'd have to look through my stuff. I'm not so sure Lincolnwood's lost yet.
Oh boy! Well, for the other three towns represented, that's some bulletin board material.
Mike,
I don't think Lincolnwood has lost.
I'll be darned. Tell us where the money goes. The money, this is a fundraising event, and you're going to have concessions and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll run the concessions this year. The Hillsborough Sports Association has a tournament or a couple doubleheaders out there that day. But any money that we raise will be split usually between the Montgomery County Cancer Association and the Montgomery County Breast Cancer Support Group.
Two, Mike, worthy causes, yes.
How has this worked in terms of getting the teams for different towns together? Is there kind of a de facto leader from each of the four towns to get their squad together?
Yeah, right now we've got David Jenkins, of course, trying to take care of the Litchfield side of it. Dylan Goldsmith and Jordan Pisco are doing the Nokomis. Justin Milberg for Lincolnwood. And actually, we have two full teams already from Hillsborough. We're always welcome, to get some more, It's April 13th, the deadline, so whoever wants, anybody who wants to show up and play, get a hold of me. And that's the actual cutoff to get in and get a shirt.
Now, are breaking balls allowed here, or is it just straight fastballs?
Oh yeah, no. Some of those kids still throw some nasty curves. I made a comment last year. I don't know. It might have been Andy Huber or some. I don't know who it was. One of those kids on that other Hillsborough team. I said, "Holy cow, boys! I'm 46 years old." I mean, just threw a wicked curveball.
Well, when you said Jordan Pisco, Mike, it made me think of the knuckle curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no fun to hit.
I don't want to face him. Those young guys might be able to, but I don't think I want no part of Jordan.
No, not even the younger guys really want to face him. Because the thing with this is you get a... Go ahead.
This year we're doing something a little different, but the cost to play is $25. And we've had some family members in the past ask about shirts. So anybody who would like to have a shirt, they're going to be $15 if you're a non-player. And our design we come up with this year is the United States flag. The baseballs will be pink baseballs. And then the stars and the stripes will be baby blue in representation of prostate cancer.
Great. Terrific. Wonderful cause. This was an idea that was kicked around for a few years before it actually came to fruition.
Yeah, we tried. Hillsborough used to always have an alumni game. It kind of died out. And then the year that my mother had breast cancer, we found out she had breast cancer, we saw that what the MCCA and the breast cancer support group do for ladies and gentlemen in Montgomery County. And we just felt like then, you know, because if you've never dealt with those associations, you don't know what they do. So we felt like we needed to give back and do our part, you know, because, you know, they helped my mother, so.
So give us a phone number or an email address or a way to sign up, Mike.
You can call me or text me at 217-556-7797. And next year we're going to try, Coach Allen and Coach Pisco have already contacted them. Next year we're going to try to incorporate, make it a county-wide on the county tournament, having it be a cancer fundraiser. Also have all the teams involved, and they'll wear a special shirt. And,
that'll be
terrific. We're looking forward to that next year also.
Yeah. I assume you'll have umpires volunteering their time this year as well, as usual.
Yeah, Lou Lang, Jeff Lutz,
a couple of good umpires there.
I think Dave Jenkins wants to volunteer.
You know what? Dave Jenkins could volunteer
I think he does.
I don't think I've ever umpired a game in my life.
See?
I'm going to be stuck umpiring this year. Mike Jackson was the other umpire from last year. Mike Rapace said he's going to volunteer his time. So it's a pretty nice group effort.
Yeah.
I guess, Mike, will there be a big tub of ice along one of the left field or right field lines for these guys after the game, or maybe even in between innings?
There really needs to be. Paris Frozen Foods could probably bring a whole truck. But the thing that's nice is even the young guys are sore.
Yeah.
I remember Mike David walked in here on Monday after he played that game last week. And David, you're young. You're what, 23, 24?
I'll be 25 this
25,
year.
And he couldn't move for a week, Mike. Yep.
See, there's no excuse in that.
That's what I said.
No excuse for that. If you're over 40, I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, you should be sore and beat up. But if you're 39 and under, that's not good.
It's that great day of the plate that I had the day before. You know, just no, I'm kidding. That's pitching dominates these games very much, especially when you got guys who are still active college pitchers.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yes, you. A couple of years ago, Landon Wiedekamp and Josh Glick pitched for Lincolnwood.
That's not fair.
Turn out the lights.
And some, I think Kyle had said that Shane might be coming back to throw this year also.
No wonder Lincolnwood's undefeated.
Wow.
Yeah. The other Hillsborough team has some really, really good arms, too, with the McDice boy, Andy Huber, Kleiner. I mean, about seven of their players were really solid high school pitchers, and some of them went on to play college ball. So
a lot of them did. Yeah.
Kyle McBrain has played for him, too.
What's that?
Kyle McBrain has played for him, too.
Oh, yeah, Kyle McBrain pitched. You've got Ben Schwab for Litchfield. Nolan Rapay through for the other Hillsborough. Oh, and Matt Liefers. I think Matt, he'll be 60, and he'll still be pitching. If we do it until he's 60, he's still going to be pitching. And the intensity that kid brings is unbelievable.
Mike, it's going to be a lot of fun coming up in a couple of weeks. And once again, let people know if they would like to be a part of the event, whether it be to play or maybe just make a donation or help out in any way. How do they do it?
You can call me at 217-556-7797, or my address is 303 East Main Street, Coffeen, Illinois, 62017. And we appreciate everything you guys have done through the years for us, you know, especially like getting Tobin to shave his head. You guys have been great.
Mike Cerruti, thank you so much for some of your time today, sir. We'll see you in a couple of weeks at the alumni game. And start stretching now.
Yeah.
Thanks again, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Mike Cerruti, kind of the man in charge of the alumni baseball game. And, David, you've played it and you've been involved with it. Such a great cause.
It really is. I mean, guy, you can, I guess, go out and live your dream for one day out of the year and continue to play baseball. It's a really fun day, even though the pitching does dominate. If you're not a pitcher, it's still really fun to get out there and just play again.
Yeah, to get those competitive juices flowing, to get into an actual competitive situation post-high school, no matter how many years you may be removed from high school, always a good time.
Oh, yeah, and it is, even though it's for fun, it's still very competitive out there. I mean, because nobody still likes to lose.
Bragging rights are still in the line,
exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah, I was unaware that Lincolnwood hadn't lost a game yet, though it doesn't surprise me. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, for the other three towns in the county, that's extra motivation if you needed it.
Speaking of the Lancers, we will have them on the radio this morning. Lincolnwood will be hosting Cardinalville. Tito will have the call. It'll come up live at 11 o'clock this morning right here on FM 106. And, of course, we'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. Cardinal baseball tonight from Atlanta, Georgia. That'll come your way live at 5:15 this evening on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. We do need a break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday following these messages. And we are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Tito has headed out. He's getting himself set for the ball game this morning. We'll have high school baseball coming up. Cardinalville is at Lincolnwood live this morning, 11 o'clock here on FM 106, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. And David Jenkins will have the Cardinals on the radio again today, of course. Every single regular season baseball game for the Redbirds this year will be on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And Cardinal fans and everyone associated with the team was in full-on panic mode after just three ball games.
Very much so. Myself included. I considered myself a pretty diehard Cardinals fan, and I was ready to throw in the towel after three games. Well, maybe not ready to throw in the towel. But
you were ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah, I was ready to throw in the towel.
It didn't look good.
It did not. I know they're not the worst team in baseball, but boy, after three games, they sure looked like the worst team in baseball.
After three games, San Diego was the worst team in baseball.
Well, this is true.
The Cardinals were right there with them after three games. They couldn't hit, they couldn't field, they couldn't pitch those first three games in Pittsburgh, but boy, never has one win in April felt so big and so important. But that win last night against the Braves was huge for the psyche.
You wonder if that was just all they needed to maybe, you know, reel off a few wins. We'll find out here today and tomorrow and the next week or so, depending on how they respond for that one win. But, yeah, I mean, there's never been a bigger win probably for the Cardinals in game four of the year.
And me personally, I'm more worried about the manager than I am about the players. Because even as bad as they played in Pittsburgh, and they were awful. I mean, they were the definition of a dumpster fire those first three games. With that said, they were still a base hit away from winning all three of those games. One big hit in any of those games, and the outcome is different. Obviously, that's not the way it works. But the point being, as bad as they were still a hit away from any of those first three games of getting the W. So to bounce back like they did last night, such a huge win. But we talked about the roster construction last week before the season got started. Six outfielders, no backup infielders except Greg Garcia. They called Diaz up after the first game.
Because
Tommy Pham got hurt.
Which I guess none of us saw coming, but should have seen coming.
Everyone should have seen it coming. Yeah. That's one of those, no one wanted to talk about it. If we don't talk about it, maybe it won't happen.
It's not going
to
happen if we don't talk about it.
He felt a strain in the oblique before the game even started. And of course, they still sent him out there. One at bat later, he's hurt. So they called up Diaz. He gets a start, makes an error, gets yanked.
Got his first hit in his first at bat before that error. Did fantastic. He made the error in his very first major league game. So obviously, You have to take him out of the game immediately.
Of course.
And bench him the next day, right, too, and not even use him at all. I mean, that's
until you bring in him last night, he hits the game-winning pinch-hit homer.
Boy, that it popped off his bat, too. That I mean, the ball jumps off of his bat for a shortstop. His bat has never been the question. Right. It's always been, can he play the shortstop position consistently? You got to give him a chance now.
He can play it as good, if not better, than Jed Jerko.
That's right. You didn't trade for Jed Jerko to be your starting shortstop. You kind of had to make him the starting shortstop on opening day based on Peralta getting hurt and Ruben Tejada going out days before the season started. But now, there's really no excuse for Jerko to play shortstop outside of an emergency circumstance.
I texted you last night, I think after Jerko made a second error in the first inning, and my point was this. They signed Jerko to be a backup middle infielder, and essentially a backup
second baseman. Yeah.
Utility guy. Diaz was signed to be the everyday major league shortstop. Now, Diaz coming into the year wasn't in the plans, probably needed more seasoning in AAA. But things change. You don't plan on your shortstop getting hurt the last week of spring training. Then the guy that you brought in to replace him also gets hurt in the final week of spring training. Sometimes you just have to adjust on the fly. And so my thing would be, maybe someone should tell Mike Matheny that Jerko was acquired to be a utility player and Diaz was signed to be an everyday shortstop, and maybe we could get them in those roles.
Matheny has had an issue throughout his young managerial career committing to young position players. We saw it with Colton Wong because, you know, the first season where he started the year on the major league roster, he got benched by Mark Ellis unjustly. You know, it started out as a platoon situation, even though at the time I think Colton Wong was hitting 250 against lefties, but for some reason Mark Ellis got healthy, so they decided naturally we need to platoon him. And it took away at-bats from Colton Wong. He put more pressure on himself, and then, you know, they had to send him down because Ellis was playing every day. Did the same thing for Oscar Tavares. You know, they call Tavares up, and Tavares can't find the lineup because, well, for whatever reason, Matheny liked Grichuk more than Tavares. He started Grichuk in the postseason, even though Tavares was going to be your future number three hitter before he tragically passed away. We're seeing the same thing out of Aledmys Diaz, you know.
Well, and we saw it last year too, David, with Grichuk and Tommy Pham, where John Jay was getting a lot of playing time over two guys who were producing every time they were in the lineup.
Right. You know, even from the pitching aspect of it too, you could say the same thing for Carlos Martinez. Clearly a better, probably stuff-wise, your best pitcher in the rotation and probably second best pitcher overall. But yet he's buried behind Michael Wacha and Mike Leake and Jaime Garcia. He's your fifth starter. I mean,
I don't necessarily have a big problem with that just because he is a young guy.
Yeah. My issue is the fact that Wacha is your number two starter. And I said before the season, there's no reason for him to be your number two starter because he's not proven it yet. He had the one run he did in 2013 because the league was unfamiliar with him. Since then, the league has caught up to him. And he's not been able to adjust. And we'll find out if maybe the light spring workload was the reason for his first start of the year. But, I mean, if he continues to pitch the way he did, what was it, Tuesday night, then we could be in for some problems.
Yeah, that wasn't real good.
No.
And it just seems that the light spring workload for everybody kind of had them in this malaise early in the year. I know Derek Gould reported for the Post-Dispatch that in all the spring trainings he's been to, and he's been to a lot of them, he had never seen the Cardinals do less in terms of getting ready, doing work to start the year than they did this past spring training, and it showed. I mean, they were just sloppy across the board. And again, that feeds into I'm more worried about the manager than I am about the players, because Matheny openly said coming into spring that they were going to do less. He said they were going to do this because they were worn out last year.
Yeah.
His solution for running everybody into the ground last year was to do nothing in spring training to get them ready for this year. I don't know. How about you have a regular spring training, get your guys ready, and then this is going to sound crazy, David. It's going to sound wild and nuts.
I don't even want to hear it.
I know. But once the season starts, maybe you could give guys days off. Instead of doing nothing for 6 weeks in spring training, maybe rest the guys throughout the six-month season.
It is amazing how good Trevor Rosenthal looks right now because he's rested.
Phenomenal.
I mean, seriously, he looks like the best relief pitcher in the game right now because he's only pitched twice this season. I mean, yeah, You know, he'll probably have a season like that if he's not pitching every day. Granted, Matheny did a lot better job of resting him last year. It may not seem like it, but he refused to pitch him 4 days in a row. And even, I think he only pitched 3 days in a row, maybe a couple times. So, and he never pitched 5 days in a row, something he had done the previous year.
Nobody should ever pitch
5 days in a row. But Seth Maness does, and he will, because he's on pace for, he's not going to pitch 162 games, but he's probably on pace for pitching 160 games out of the season.
Mm. And, you know, they're a team built on their pitching. That's the strength of their club. And those first three games in Pittsburgh, they led the league in walks. Their pitchers walked more batters than anybody in baseball the first three games. Their batters struck out more than any other team in baseball through three games. So it did not start well, to say the least.
No, and strikeout, John Mabry's going to have a hard time making it through April with this offense.
Yeah, unless they do like they did last night.
Well, this is true, but are we really going to see four home runs every game?
I think that's really what led to a lot of fans' uneasiness about, because it was just three games. But the problem is it looked a lot like last year in terms of the offense. Lots of strikeouts, lots of ground balls.
It has been a lot like last year.
That's not a good formula for success. And we know, sure, the Cardinals won 100 games last year with historically great pitching. Mm-hmm. The offense failed the team last year miserably. To have the pitching they had, that should have been a championship.
Right.
That was historically great pitching. We're talking about, you go back 100 years in baseball, there wasn't pitching that was as good as the Cardinals had last year, and the offense wasted it. And then you come in, you make no major changes in the offseason, which I necessarily didn't have a problem with.
It wasn't for lack of trying.
That's exactly right. But then through the first three games, you're seeing the same sorts of things. You're hearing the same sorts of things coming from the manager's office about, we'll get it fixed, we'll be fine. We heard it for 6 months. So I think that was the problem a lot of fans were having, was this looks a lot like last year, maybe even worse.
Yeah. It looks like they didn't work on anything in the offseason. Granted, it's still four games into the season, but we are seeing the same exact problems from the offense that we did last year, and that's concerning because, like you mentioned, they have one of the highest swing and miss rates in baseball.
Not good.
They have one of the highest ground ball rates in baseball.
Even worse.
One of the highest strikeout rates in baseball. They don't walk much, and there's no power.
Right. And see, that's
now, although they are off to a good start power-wise so far.
But look who's hitting the home runs, though.
I know. Jeremy Hazelbaker is leading the team in home runs,
with two.
He has like six at-bats.
Yeah.
So
Greg Garcia has a home run.
Jed Jerko has a home run. Aledmys Diaz, who has, four at-bats this year, has a home run.
Yeah. But you mentioned the lack of power with the strikeouts. Strikeouts in baseball have kind of become not a big issue. Like the Cubs, they strike out a lot, but they hit home runs and they draw walks.
Exactly. That's the thing. You know, the ground ball rate and the strikeout rate and the swing and miss rate, you know, they're all fine. You can deal with those as long as, you know, you're not doing them all together and you're still producing. They are not producing. That's the problem. They have no power, and they're swinging and missing, and it's just, you know, all those things adding up, it doesn't make for a very productive offense.
No, it does not. You got to get Hazelbaker in the lineup. You got to get Diaz in the lineup. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. You have to play Holiday at first base.
Yeah.
You have to.
I never
thought those words would come out of my mouth, but you must play Holiday at first base. You put Hazelbaker in left. You leave Grichuk alone in center. Start Diaz at short and see what that crew could do.
I would almost think about putting Hazelbaker in center and Grichuk in left.
Well, see,
because Hazelbaker, I think, has more range than Grichuk does.
And that very well may be. But the Cardinals spent the whole offseason talking about and grooming Grichuk to be the center fielder
this
of the future. All the work he did with Edmonds. So if you want that guy to be your center fielder 3 years from now, just leave him alone.
Okay.
Don't bench him after two games and say he needs a break like happened to him. He's off to a bad start. But who else is off to a bad start? Matt Carpenter.
Yeah.
And Matt Carpenter's a veteran. One of the leaders.
And he's got a history with fatigue early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got issues. I think if Matheny knows what he's doing, Hazelbaker's going to be in left field for the lineup today. Grichuk in center, Piscotty in right, Holiday at first base, unless you want to rest Holiday for some reason right before the homestand, which, okay, That's fine. He hasn't had a day off yet either, although he got pulled early from that extra inning game.
But they got
a tie game,
mind
you.
Days early in the season.
This is true. I think Carpenter should get a day off today. If you're going by the logic that Grichuk deserved a day off after 2 days, Carpenter certainly does. And you put Jerko over at third. If you want Jerko in the lineup every day, fine. Don't put him at shortstop at all. Diaz has to be in the lineup today.
You have to give this kid an opportunity to play.
Yeah, you called him up so he could play. I mean, Mazalek specifically sent him down when he did because there were going to be no at-bats for him. Well, all of a sudden, there are at-bats for him, so you got to play him. I mean, you have to.
And let's be honest. The defense stinks anyway.
Yeah.
So if Holiday's at first and Diaz is at short, who cares?
What better game to put him in there than today with your best strikeout pitcher on the mound?
Good point.
I mean, the guy with the best stuff on the mound, I guess he's still classified as a ground ball pitcher, but, I mean, he's got the best swing and miss ratio of any of the starting pitchers. So.
Jerkle's already made 3 errors at shortstop. He made 2 errors in the first inning last night. So it can't be worse.
Oh, it could get worse.
No, it can't. Not really.
It could get worse.
Well, everything could always get worse, but.
He did catch a line drive at short Sunday. He could have dropped that. Yeah, it could get worse.
But I love the idea of Jerko being able to come off the bench.
It's
late.
Fantastic.
That's why they got him.
Yeah,
that's where his value is.
And he was a Cardinal killer, so you took him out of the lineup from the opposing team.
Mm.
They got issues.
They do, but they're gonna be fine. They're gonna be. They've got the talented players, and it's just a bad start, plain and simple.
Yeah, yeah. Although Adams did get a hit last night, so he's probably earned himself a week's worth of starts.
Don't get me agitated in this early in the morning, David. We don't need it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're going to talk about the Cubbies here in a moment as they had a big, big blow to their offense, to their culmination of the World Series championship in October. Kyle Schwarber out for the year, torn ACL, torn LCL. Huge loss for the Cubs. We will talk about that following these messages on Sports Saturday. We've got high school baseball coming up this morning from Raymond. Lincolnwood hosting Carthenville. We'll have it live at 11 here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com. Cardinal baseball tonight from Atlanta live at 5:15 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And then the Redbirds wrap up the opening road trip in Atlanta tomorrow. We'll have live coverage at 11:40 on AM 1540 and FM 106. And then, David, the home opener on Monday against the Brewers. Live coverage beginning 1:40 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And, of course, rain in the forecast for the Cardinals' home opener,
of course.
Always.
Of course, the home opener has not been good to them over the last 5 years as far as wins and losses. They don't.
Well,
they
such
don't,
a different atmosphere. There's so much going on beyond the baseball game.
I think it motivates the other team more, honestly.
Probably.
I think the opposing team usually sees that and is like, "Oh, let's go out and beat them."
There's a lot of pomp and circumstance with the home opener for the
Redbirds.
Yeah, there
is. So they typically lose their home opener.
That's right. The Cubs' home opener is a night game at Wrigley on Monday, which is odd to me.
That is. It's probably part of a. You know, the national TV schedule.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But to me, opening days should always be during the day. It's just
talking
better
to everybody's?
To yes. But with television, that will never happen.
Yeah,
but
happen.
I love day baseball.
I like night baseball. I prefer night baseball, honestly. I'm not a huge fan of day baseball.
My favorite
factors.
Cards, Cubs, Friday afternoon, Wrigley Field. That, to me, it doesn't get any better from a baseball perspective than that Friday afternoon Cards-Cubs game at Wrigley Field. And there's no weekend games between the Cards and the Cubs at Busch Stadium this year.
No, there's not.
Game at St. Louis is a midweek game.
There's only a couple of them at Wrigley on the weekend.
How did that happen?
Well, the Major League Baseball really botched the schedule this year.
They messed it up
in
badly.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
Because the Angels also are not coming to St. Louis, even though it's their turn, which would have been the return of Albert Pujols, which everybody is pining for. Cardinals fans want this. Yeah. We want to see Albert again. We can't. We're denied until 2019, unless they face each other in the World Series.
That'd be something.
It would be.
That'd be something. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. Of course, the Cubs opened up in Anaheim this week. Won both games, blew out the Angels in two ball games, and they go into Arizona, blow out the Diamondbacks, score 14 runs in that first game. But in that ball game early, Kyle Schwarber injured, out for the year, outfield collision with Dexter Fowler, and it looked just like, to me, the Piscotty play last year when he and Borges collided. The difference, Piscotty got his neck and head smashed. Schwarber got his left leg smashed. But both high-impact, full-speed collisions between the center fielder and left fielder. Now Schwarber is lost for the year. Complete tears of his ACL and LCL. And that is just terrible. As a baseball fan, that is awful.
It is
awful news.
Because he was, you know, as young, their young core, he looked like the best hitter out of all of them coming up.
Yep. Well, see, I jokingly was referring to the Cubbies as the 27 Yankees a while ago, and I was doing it because of their lineup. It was like Murderer's Row.
Yeah.
Where are the outs? And Kyle Schwarber was a huge, huge part of that. With him gone, boy, that makes that lineup, to me, look a whole heck of a lot different. Jorge Soler can be pitched to.
Yeah.
When Javier Baez comes up, he can be pitched to. They will both chase pitches out of the zone all day long. Bryant, Rizzo, and Schwarber don't.
Bryant does.
To an extent, but he still has an extremely high walk rate.
He does. But yeah, Schwarber and Rizzo, they really don't. They don't chase pitches very often.
And they make you come into their zone, and then they hit it a long, long way.
Which is really probably more odd for a left-handed batter than it is anything else. Yeah, they really do. And, I mean, it just speaks to how good the Cubs lineup is, I guess, with the fact that they've scored, well over 30 runs, probably maybe even over 40 runs through four games, or maybe three games.
Through three games. They got held to two last night.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. and still, I think, Schwarber hadn't had a hit yet. Bryant was off to a slow start. I don't think he had had a hit. Addison Russell didn't get a hit until his third game of the season.
It was really Fowler and Rizzo.
Yeah.
Were carrying the whole club. But I watched them the first couple of games. Oh, my goodness. Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Now, they've already had one major injury. You know more are coming. They've got depth. We'll see if they can sustain it. But losing Kyle Schwarber in the third game of the year, that is a devastating blow. And, you know, if you're a Cubs fan, you probably can't help but think, maybe we are cursed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because injuries are part of the game. It happens.
They are.
But
I don't,
it happened in this third game of the year like that. I don't know.
I don't know that I see this as being part of the curse. Just because, I mean, this happened to the Cardinals last year, and they're not cursed. They went through the same kind of injuries.
Didn't say it was part.
The perception being, this is true. Yeah, this is
again,
true.
Again, it's all like with the Cardinals, they've won enough to where if something happens, it's almost like the do factor. Well, they were bound to have something like that happen.
This is true.
With the Cubs, again, really? Come on. Can't we catch a break?
The interesting thing is also they faced a vastly inferior pitching rotation this week in Anaheim. I mean, the Angels don't have any pitching, really. Garrett Richards is not that good of a pitcher. He had a good year 2 years ago and then before his knee injury. Since then, he's not been that good. And then Andrew Haney was the second pitcher they faced. And Andrew Haney, while he was thought of as a very good young left-handed pitcher, not off to a good start in his career.
Well, they're going to get some good pitching in the next two games. They've got Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller the next two
nights. And Zach Greinke is coming off probably one of his worst starts in his career.
Which, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Look out.
Yeah. And Shelby Miller, he's got experience, and he's pitched well against the Cubs, too. So we'll see.
Arizona was kind of my trendy sleeper team.
They were a lot of people's trendy sleeper teams.
But Zach Greinke getting blown up in the first game makes me take a little bit of a pause, like, whoa. Because, I mean, he hadn't really gotten blown up like that in a number of years.
Well, he allowed, I think,
like three home runs
in that game. He had allowed two home runs through his first six starts last year. So, of course, last year was a contract year.
But every year is a contract year for Zach Greinke, the way that he negotiates.
Yeah, it is. Well, not anymore, because he's locked in for like 6 years. Yeah, they were everybody's trendy pick, but I think the A.J. Pollock injury really is going to affect them.
Yeah.
He may not be able to come back this year. Broke his elbow.
That was a freaky play, too. A lot of people wanted to blame the headfirst slide, but it wasn't the slide. After he slid into home plate, he put both of his arms down to push himself up, and that's where his elbow went pop. broke his elbow getting up.
I think he had elbow issues going in.
He did.
So that was, I think that's probably why a lot of people blamed it.
Mm.
So that's really unfortunate for them, because between he and Goldschmidt, I mean, that was a really good start to their young core offensively. And while Goldschmidt's going to be fantastic as always, that's one more bat that you lose. Pollock was an all-star last year.
Well,
and he broke onto the scene.
Gene Segura is absolutely in fuego here to start the year. What a huge pickup that is for Arizona, too. You know, Greinke and Miller got a lot of press, and rightfully so, for Arizona picking them up. But that was another kind of under-the-radar move to acquire a stud young player like Gene Segura, who had gone through some very tough personal things the last few years in Milwaukee. Maybe he just needed a change of scenery, and it looks like the desert is doing him good.
Yeah, and he wasn't the guy in Milwaukee, but there was a lot of pressure on him in Milwaukee with nobody else in the lineup. Now he can play. I mean, Goldschmidt's the guy in the Arizona lineup, so you play no pressure now. Doesn't have to be the guy. Doesn't even have to be a top-of-the-order bat, really. Yeah.
Just do your thing.
Yeah.
Just do what got you here.
Yeah. It's just great to have Major League Baseball back.
Love it.
Of course, the Reds were 3-0 heading into yesterday.
How
so
about that, huh?
Yeah.
They started like 4-0 last year, too, though, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Started 4-0, beat the Cardinals in the first game of that series, and the Cardinals took the next two, and then came the downward spiral that was the Reds. Of course, this was always going to be a rebuilding year.
Right. But I would take the middle of Cincinnati's lineup over any combination that the Cardinals can put in the middle of their lineup
too.
With Votto and Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Even really Brandon Phillips. You throw him in there.
You could. But for just pure power, Votto and Bruce, that works in the heart of your order.
It does. I mean, Joey Votto, for a guy who's locked up for 9 years maybe, I've never heard a guy like that been mentioned on the trading block more.
Yeah, since they want to trade everybody.
Yeah, they do. That's a very dangerous contract, though, to you know, consume if you do trade for him, though, because he's locked up for at least 8 more years, and it's an expensive 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got $200 million left on his deal. It was not a good contract that the Reds signed.
Well, no, then as soon as he signed it, he decided he wanted to be an on-base guy.
Yeah. He did get the power back last
year. Which was good to see.
Yeah.
Got a hit for that power.
Yeah. We'll see. There are two names, I think, that are going to be interesting for the Cardinals to look at, possibly, on the trading block, and that is Evan Longoria and Carlos Gonzalez. Both about 30 years old. Longoria, established defensive wizard at third base, plus a very good offensive player. Gonzalez, a pretty good defensive outfielder, could play all three positions in a pinch, probably more likely a left fielder, can play right field. He's got a strong arm, and maybe fill in at center field every once in a while. Injury history, but
yeah,
got a lot of pop.
He makes Kulowitzki look healthy.
He does. But you wonder if that is also the Colorado air.
Yeah. Could be.
Could be.
Could be something to that.
Yeah.
We're a long way from the trade deadline.
We are. But it was always mentioned this offseason, as soon as the Cardinals failed to bring in one of those top free agents, every national writer was like, watch out for the Cardinals at the trade deadline. Well, we'll see. Those are two of the big names on the block.
They still got money to spend.
They do.
They're not going 0-162.
They're not. They got one win.
So that's good.
Yeah.
The Cubs aren't going 162-0. Shocking.
No.
Weird. Cardinals at Atlanta today. We'll have it live at 5:15 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.